भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिति कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमो अकिञ्चन वित्ताय निवृत्तगुणवृत्तये आत्मारामाय शान्ताय कैवल्यपतये नमः। This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.27. Recently I am doing the teachings of Queen Kunti book in a series. They have been doing different shlokas and different voices in yoga. So today we will discuss on this chapter. Very beautiful title, The Property of the Impoverished. The impoverished person has no property, but here it says the property of the impoverished. So akinchana means impoverished. Vitta means property or wealth. Amo akinchana vittaya. Kuntimarani is saying to Krishna, Krishna, you are the wealth of the impoverished people. Nivritta guna vrittaye. Guna means that rope or three gunas, merge material nature. Guna vritti means one who is very firmly bound by the ropes of the material nature. Like that verse, that the verse which says, Dhamni, Urudhamni Baddha. What is the verse? Tatsadhamanya sarvaririnam. Sada samudvigna diyama sadgraha itpatma vatam krahivanta kupam. No, not that verse. What is the question? Says, Andayatandai Urudhamni Baddha. It says, Dhamni means rope, Urudhamni Baddha means bound by the steel cords. It's like a steel cord, uncuttable. Natevadu Swatagatam Vishnu Durashayage Bhagavatamanina Andayatandai Upaniyamana Stepi Ishatantriya Urudhamni Baddha. Ishatantriya, Isha means Lord. Thus Maya has three modes of material nature. And her capabilities come from Krishna. Ishtantriya, Urudhamni Baddha. Very firm. Urudhamni means very uncuttable modes of material nature. So, that is the Gunavritti. Gunavritti means to be bound by the ropes of material nature. But, here she is saying, Nibritta Gunavrittaye means you are not bound by the pure devotees are not bound by those cords of material nature, three modes of material nature. Nenuvrita means what? Freedom. They are free from that cause of three modes of material nature. నమో అకించన విత్తాయ నివృత్త గుణవృత్తయే ఆత్మారామాయ శాంతాయ. యు బికమ్ ఆత్మారామ్ ఫర్ ద మోనిస్ ఆర్ ద ఇంపర్సన్లెస్. ఆత్మారామ్ మీన్స్ యూ డోంట్ reciprocate at all. You keep yourself completely indifferent and aloof from the impersonalist, she's saying. Just like Atmaram means, actually Atmaram person is a person who never talks to anybody, who never has any relationships with anybody, who is self-satisfied with himself. So in Bhagavatam there is a verse that says, there are two people who can be seen smiling in this world happily. One is a pure devotee, another one is a fool. Both of them, they cannot perceive the miseries of the world. A fool is a madman in a mental asylum. He imagines himself to be somebody who he is not. So he is in his own dream world. And a pure devotee is in, you know, in connection with the world of Supreme Reality, spiritual world. He is also very happy. So, Atmaram is a self-satisfied person who doesn't need any favor from anybody, who has no enemies, who has no friends, and who is neutral. So Lord becomes completely neutral with the impersonalist. She is saying, Atmaramaya Shantaya. Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. Pati means the Lord. Kaivalya Pati means you are also the Lord of the monists or the impersonalists. It's not that the impersonalists are no master. It is not that the impersonalists are themselves the master. They also have a master. And who is that? It is you. He is saying, Krishna. Very beautiful verse. So we were discussing in the previous verse that I had taken some of these 2-3 points and discussed in the previous verse because there is a connection there. The previous verse, she was telling Kunti that those people who have these 4 qualifications, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Shri, high birth richness and great learning or education and bodily beauty, she said, these people, Yedamana Madhapuma, they become very infatuated, very proud. Naivarhati Vidatumbe, Tama Kinshana Gosharam. And they cannot feelingly call your names, Krishna, because of this pride. See, all these verses are so beautifully connected. So one verse before that was that Vipasa Santita Shashvata, Chatravatra Jagadguru. There she said, let all those calamities come upon me. Because whenever calamities come, we become humble, or humbled, we can say. And we run to your lotus feet. She said, and then in that purport, Prabhupada says, people in this world always try to keep themselves comfortable. And when you keep yourself very comfortable, then you tend to forget Krishna. That was one point Prabhupada made. And then the next verse Prabhupada said, how does one feel very comfortable when you have these 4 qualifications? Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. It makes one very cozy and comfortable and makes one think I am very advanced and proud. And in that pride, one cannot feelingly call the names of the Lord. Now naturally, the subsequent verse is telling, then you may ask the question, then who can call the names of the Lord feelingly? That she says, that is Akinchana Vitta. One who has wealth, but wealth, what wealth? Krishna has the wealth. They can call your names feelingly. And those have become free from the involvement of the 3 modes of material nature. So there, Prabhupada made these 2 points in his comment. He said, see here, advancement of material vision or material civilization is a great stumbling block for spiritual advancement. Such material advancement entangles the living being in the bondage of material body, followed by all sorts of misery, material misery. By diverting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization, the prime necessity of human life. The attempt to reach the moon is another example of spoiling energy, he says. Because even if you reach the moon, the same real problems of life will remain there. The devotees of the Lord are called Akinchana because they have practically no material assets. Such material assets are all products of the three modes of material nature. They foil spiritual energy. And thus, less we possess such products of material nature, the more we have a good chance for spiritual progress. One more similar point. The material disease is due to hankering after and lording it over material nature. The hankering is due to an interaction of the three modes of nature. Which mode? Hankering? Rajoguna. Hankering is in which mode? A mode of passion. And neither the Lord nor the devotee have attachment for such false enjoyment. Therefore, the Lord and the devotees are called Nivritta Gunavritti. The perfect Nivritta Gunavritti is the Supreme Lord because he never becomes attracted by the modes of material nature. Whereas living beings have such a tendency. Some of them are entrapped by the illusory attraction of material nature. So we were discussing this point that material assets foil spiritual energy. Less we possess them, better the chance for spiritual progress. Material advancement is a great stumbling block in spiritual advancement. So generally people think that we are suffering in this world because we don't have enough material goods, many people think. We are lacking comforts and luxuries. If you get them, probably you'll become happier. That's what generally people think. Which is actually false. People actually suffer because of the previous mistakes in the Purva Janam. Purva Janam ke paap karma. This Janam mein dukh banta hai. Whatever misdeeds we did in the past life, that brings suffering now. Not lack of comforts. For example, Prabhupada often used to say, America is one of the first world countries with the best of material facilities. Is the average American happy? So if you say comforts is equal to happiness, Americans have comforts, is it equal to happiness? That is the happiness. So luxuries and comforts don't make a man happy. Like you see, when a plate of, big plate of varieties of colorful prasadam, food was brought in front of Duryodhana when he was in the tent, on the day when Pandavas had really attacked Kauravas very powerfully and killed thousands of soldiers. So Duryodhana was so fed up losing in the army so badly, when Bhishma came, he was criticizing Bhishma that you are not fighting sufficiently valiantly. Of course, Bhishma was very upset because Bhishma did his best. Bhishma said, the Pandavas are all virtuous and they are guided by the master of virtue, Krishna. How can anybody win them? You can't win, I can't win, nobody can win. When he said that, Duryodhana became even more angry. Oh, you always glorify the Pandavas. So when this food was brought to him, he said, take it back. He said, actually he was hungry, but he just could not eat at all. Because the food was very delicious and tasty, but you cannot eat when you are not in a good mood. Even if somebody gives you. For example, somebody keeps a very nice plate of prasad in front of you, a 14 course feast or something like that. With rasagulla and gulab jamun and with shrikhand, with three sabjis and gulab, kadi, malpua and everything. And then you're going to just begin eating it. And then they say, You know, like in South India they do like this. They do like, which means, you know, Sapatraman they got. Sapatra means one who is a good eater. Huh? If somebody tells you, oh, you are a good eater, huh? You are so fond of this plate, then immediately one feels insulted. Is it not true? Huh? And then you say, no, I am not a good eater, I am a renouncer. I'll renounce this plate now. Sometimes and people say, no, this fellow is eating like anything. If somebody tells you like that, then you don't feel like eating at all. Is it not so? Unless it is given with love, you cannot eat. Huh? So, in the same manner, which means the happiness is not in the food itself. The happiness is not in the money. The happiness is not in the luxuries and comforts. The happiness is in the mind with which we perceive it. Huh? That is why the suffering, what we get in our life, is actually due to purva janma, pap karma. It is not due to lack of comforts. So many rich people have so much comforts and luxuries, they are not at all happy. They are the most frustrated fellows. They commit suicide, many people. Why? Did they commit suicide because they didn't have comforts? Even a beggar in the street doesn't commit suicide. You see, he doesn't have enough money. 3 days he is starving without food, he doesn't commit suicide. But why millionaires are committing suicide? Because they have committed sins in the past which brings some suffering now, in this life. So, there is a wrong notion amongst the people of this world that I feel unhappy because I don't have comforts. So inadequacy is experienced because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Because of lack of Krishna consciousness, inadequacy is experienced. So instead of becoming Krishna conscious, people want to avoid inadequacy by accumulating things. Correct? People accumulate things in the world, like Prabhupada says, you know, different types of lipsticks and different type of nail polishes. Different type of hairstyles, different types of costly ornaments, and different type of garments, different type of model cars, different types of shoes. He's saying that the consumer industry is booming because people are feeling inadequacy. They think by purchasing these things and storing these things, we will become adequate. We will have by possessing these kind of things, we will become happy. That is whose estimation? The common people's estimation, they think. But here Prabhupada is saying, the more you possess material assets, it does three things to us. One is, it makes one forget that I am a thief, that I am accumulating property and wealth from this world, everything of which belongs to Krishna. One forgets that. Secondly, one's hankering for comforts increases more and more. The more you enjoy comfort, the hankering to enjoy comforts increases more and more. That is called rajoguna. Thirdly, the desire to dominate others increases, he says. See, these sentences are all very meaningful sentences. Each of them are talking about one thing. To consider oneself the owner of the goods of this world and land of this world, what is it? Proprietorship. Is it not? And hankering for the comforts, to get more and more comforts, what is it? Anybody can guess what it is? Yeah? Enjoyership. Correct, yeah, that's enjoyership. And the desire to dominate and, you know, have influence over, you know, different areas like the nowadays companies, you will see, they say, you know, now we have a branch in, Pune now. In those days in Chennai, there were hardly any companies. Now even in Chennai, they have started. Yeah, isn't it sort of companies? Practically any leading city, they want to have a branch, yeah. So they want to have influence over in all the directions, everywhere. First, then India, then abroad, then all over the world, everywhere. So the desire to dominate over the other living entities. Just like you see this advertisement, they put this, what do you call it, this mobile advertisements. How many advertisements they put everywhere? Crazy, practically. In fact, nowadays they have this huge, big lorry kind of thing, which is carrying, I was asking, you know, such a huge lorry they have, what are they carrying? They are only carrying one big advertisement kind of thing. You all saw that? And it keeps moving around the city. I asked, why are they moving without carrying any goods? They said it's carrying only the billboard. Moving around to attract the people. In fact, they have some human beings wearing, you know, some banyan, some t-shirt with the company advertisement. And they're moving around these fellows. You saw that? Yeah. What a strong desire to dominate the other living beings. Huh? Lord, you see, they're spending so much money on advertising industry. They say you bombard the people's minds and influence it in such a way that they will, you know, they will completely come under your control. It's crazy, huh? Yeah. The desire to dominate. Yeah. What is that? Controllership. So proprietorship, enjoyership, controllership. That purpose fluffs it and elaborates and explains like this. Not understanding oneself to be a thief when they take all the goods from the Lord. They never say a thank you to the Lord. They are never grateful to the Lord. In fact, they claim the other things to be their own. They're hankering for comforts and desire to dominate all this things. But when you get the comforts, he says, the hankering for getting more and more comforts increases. When these three things happen, what happens? The material assets spoil spiritual energy. He says, sap spiritual energy. He says, that is the nature of the material goods. We have experienced, we have seen that when our boys are studying in the college, they have some study tension, because of which they feel lot of insecurity in the college, and also they are away from home. So some boys even weep tears in the first year because they feel some homesickness, you know. Sometimes they call the mom or the papa on phone and they talk. They are just waiting for the vacation. When vacation comes, they can run home, you know. Because in home you feel love, care, you know, insecurity and inadequacy. You know, it gets compensated when you go home. Because there is no inadequacy, because you have so many things at home, you think I am adequate now, and you imagine. And insecurity means you feel, you know, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, nobody thinks about me here in the hostel, and every guy is in his own world, you know. If I am falling sick and I am feverish, nobody comes and asks, are you alright? Are you doing well, you know. You know, these guys, everyone is so selfish. You feel very lonely there, you know. When you go home, then your mom, your papa, and everyone is coming to you, and you know, morning and evening and afternoon they are cooking for you, you know, giving this, giving that. You know? So you get a lot of love. You feel a kind of, you know, your insecurity is compensated for when you go. So, in the first year, when boys come to a new place, strange place, they are looking for good friendship. They are looking for some good company, somebody who will love, care, and take care of them, and also, you know, they want to be safe and secure, and the study tension, and you know, it also adds spice to the whole thing. You know, that also makes you think that, you know, I need somebody who is study oriented. Let me. So in that case, what happens when they come to boys? When they see the other boys, you know, they get really charged up there, because the boys is like a home away from home. You know, isn't it? They feel very happy, and then they really get into it. They get very charged up, you know, chanting, dancing, running, reading, and very enthusiastic. And then, in the placement, you get a job. Even before you join the company, it goes to the head. You know, I got a job in such and such software company, Cognizant. Isn't it? Such kind of very fascinating names, every company. What are the names they have? You know, Infosys, yeah. IBM. John Deere's. Even the name is very fascinating, and when you get the, you know, what do you call it, that appointment order with your name printed in it, and all the pays and perks and everything. So that is a material asset in the form of a paper now. It's only a paper now, but already it goes to the head at that time itself. But once you come to the company, the big paycheck starts entering into your pocket, and you have ATM card with you. And you keep seeing the account is bulgy, becoming bulgier, no? Bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So as this material assets increase, you will find that the mind becomes cozy and cozy and cozy. They become very comfortable. See, I am not telling you any cooked stories. I have seen with my own eyes the past so many years. When money comes in the pocket, people become complacent and cozy and comfortable. And we have seen that. If somebody is living in yoga and living with the body, it's very rare actually. They need a high-class sincerity to live in yoga. Because many boys used to come and tell me, Guruji, can I live in my own bungalow? You know, I can take my own flat, you know, 1 BHK, 2 BHK. You know, I can live separately. To live with devotees in practice is a great challenge when you are doing a job and earning a good, you know, salary check. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over the period of
time, one feels the need of more privacy and more comfort and more luxury. You know. And proportionately, you will find, you know, it weakens one's spiritual life. Like I saw one boy who at one time wanted to join the ashram and everything. But later on, he did some bigger, higher degree, and then he got his, after getting his degree. Of course, he left Pune and he went to his native place. Recently, he came. Of course, he decided to get married and he got married now. And he was having a gold chain, thick gold chain here in the neck. The shining gold chain, very prominently you can see it. And I asked, hey, what is this? Your Kantimala is replaced by gold chain. What happened to your Kantimala? He said, because the Kantimala is there. Where is it? Inside. Acha, how is it inside? You know, you must be putting 2 lines or 3 lines. Where is it? And he said, I put single. That is inside. So Kantimala goes to background and golden necklace comes to forefront. Isn't it? You see? That is very more prominently said. Yeah. It's practically, indirectly, he without speaking, he is saying that my material life has become prominent, spiritual life has gone to background. Correct, no? You understand, no? It's indirectly he is saying that. So the material assets have foiled Kantimala, I mean spiritual assets. The gold chain is foiling Kantimala. Isn't it? So the material assets, they foil spiritual energy, which means it is indirectly evident that his spiritual life has become little less serious. Understandable, no? And when a woman comes, she does a very thorough job. Woman, the word Sri itself means she expands material life of an individual, unless she is a great devotee. You can't say that all women are bad. Because there are some spiritual minded women, they can elevate the husband also. It's likely that they may make a husband a very sincere and serious devotee. But in general, non-devotee women, they are simply oriented towards material life. You know, if I wear pink color lipstick, then pink color nail polish, pink color hairpin, you know, pink color bag also, pink color umbrella, pink color chappal, pink color sari, pink color blouse. And the dog strap also pink color for the dog. And she will say, now get me a pink color car also. So they want everything matching. And you can imagine how much a husband will have to purchase. If she wants match for everything, you know, you'll have to. And she will tell him, now you work hard and get me money for getting match for every dress I have. That is called as increasing the material assets. Is it? So, in this way, when a wife comes, that is the third degree. I told you, student life, and job holder's life, and married life. You will find once a person becomes married, and because of the demands made by the wife and children, family members, and his own independent mind also, he increases the material assets, little by little by little. And somehow or other, he feels that, you know, it is needed. These are called unnecessities. And he increases unnecessities. And the more he increases material goods, the time required for maintaining those material goods. Imagine, for example, a boy is drawing some 20,000 or 30,000 rupees salary now. If he goes for a Benz car, which is 25 lakhs or 30 lakhs, how many years loan he has to pay back? You see? If he takes loan for buying or purchasing a house. So most of the people in this world get stuck. In taking big loans and repaying big loans and getting absorbed in material life. And the problem is they will start delighting in material life, watching TV. These are all practical symptoms. What are the practical symptoms of delighting in material life? Identifying more with the material world and less with Krishna. Correct, na? That's why he is saying like this. And then Yudhisthira is saying, a living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. Prabhupada is saying, when we talk about these kind of things which I told you now, one may think, Prabhuji is telling that we have to give up everything and remain like a beggar. Prabhupada says, nobody can do that in this world. Actually, there is nothing to renounce in this world in the first place. Why? Because nothing belongs to us in the very first place. Everything belongs to Krishna. So, Prabhupada says that everyone in this world has to possess something. Like a student gives up his childhood proclivity, like playing with a balloon and all that. For what? For going to college and becoming a good student, isn't it? Similarly, he says that like one of you may give up one job. Why? You are getting a better job. Another company is paying you, 10,000 rupees more. Then why will you be in this job? Naturally, you will give up this job and go for a better one. Which means the other job you are getting is offering something more attractive for you. That is more attractive. That's why you can give up a lower job. Similarly, you are coming in the afternoon time to eat your lunch, and you find all the vessels are all, having very little dal is there, very little sabji, little rice, just scrapping the rice from bottom, and putting it, and the two rotis are seen which are completely dried up like a biscuit. You take that. Okay, you are sitting to eat. But then somebody tells you, Prabhuji, no, don't take that. Now I have kept a plate for you inside. And they bring a plate and they show you. First class, nice soft chapatis. Everything is there in that. Then will you take this plate? Then you will keep it aside and take that. Naturally. When you get something better, you renounce the other one. And it is easy to renounce also. But if you are not getting higher taste, it is not possible to renounce the lower one. It is not possible. You will be clinging on to sukha roti, isn't it? Dry roti like that. Like that he is saying. And then he is giving example of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And then he is saying Raghunath Das Goswami. All these examples, because Raghunath Das Goswami was a jamindar. He was a multi billionaire. Once Jagannath Raghunath Maharaj was giving a class, he made some calculation of Raghunath Das Goswami's wealth, which was going in multi crores, thousands of crores per 3 days nowadays. So coming from such a family. That's like this, Reliance, 20,000 crores. Hinduja family, 47,000 crores turnover they have. That kind of money they have. So, he was belonging to such a family, Raghunath Das Goswami. But then, he renounced such a family and ran away to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his shelter. That means, the shelter he achieved in Mahaprabhu's lotus feet must have been very great. Otherwise, how can he give up such a family? In fact, when he ran away, his mother told to his father that, you don't leave him, send some servants to capture him by ropes and bring him, keep him tied up at home. Father said, what can I tie up? Look at his wife. She is more beautiful than Apsaras of the heaven. And look at his wealth. He is as good as Indra, Indra's wealth. But even after having this much wealth and such a beautiful wife, if he is not attracted, if he is running to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has become a madman after the supreme madman, Lord Chaitanya, who has made him mad in Krishna's ecstatic love. So he is not attracted. Then what is the use of binding such a boy with the ropes of this material world? Such ropes cannot bind. Three modes could not bind him. No pash can bind him, because he is now bound with the prema pash of Krishna. If one is bound by the loving ropes of Krishna, then one is not bound by any other ropes of this world. You know the song, no? Chenatsi ghoram yama pasha bandham Bhinatsi bhimam bhava pasha bandham He's talking about different parsh. Yama parsh, you all know? Yama parsh, the ropes of Yamaraj. Bhava parsh means the ropes of samsara sagar, the material parsh of family, wife, children, and encumbrances. That is bhava parsh, material attachments. He's saying chinat sigoram yama parsh. So the love for Krishna can cut the yama parsh, it can cut the bhava parsh. All these things. Because one is now bound by prema pash, by love for Krishna. So that's what happened. Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa and Sanatan also, they were very great ministers in that times. I was recently hearing how Rupa and Sanatan were living when they were ministers. Actually, they were belonging to a high class Saraswat Brahmin family. But, you know, somehow or other, Hussain Shah, his ministers found out that these two Brahmanas are very influential Brahmanas. They are so learned in Sanskrit and Persian and Arabic and many other languages. And if they can be made as ministers, then the king will be free from all his big responsibilities. The king called them and threatened them that unless you do service under me, otherwise I will trouble all the Hindus. So they accepted the post of Prime Minister and Home Minister and Finance Minister. So they both of them accepted this. But then the king gave them such affluence. You know, they had such big palaces. It is said when they would be sitting on the elevated asana in the court, they will look like Indra from heaven. They were looking like that, surrounded by many other followers they had, whom they would be constantly instructing. In fact, the king had, even when we went, we saw the palace also. The palace is still there. Some ruins of the palace can be seen even today. Individual palaces they were given.
Yeah.
And the king also gave them so much respect that no pandit can, you know, pass any book without their sanction. Nobody can publish any book. They have to sanction it. So many Brahmanas, many Vaishnavas, many learned scholars would come. And this, they would worship Rupa Sanatan. But then Rupa Sanatan were so humble, they would bow down to them and they would accommodate them. Near the Ganges, they had made some houses, boarding accommodation for these people. They would stay and they would personally serve them. They were very, in fact, they were living like secondary kings under the Mahabhusain Shah. Such opulence. And it is said when Rupa Goswami renounced, his wealth was a huge boatload of gold coins. It was not a small boat, a big boat, filled with gold coins. Can you imagine so much gold he had when he renounced his post? So, but how could they give up such a position? People nowadays want to continue even after 60. People continue 65, 70, they keep going. But how they could renounce? Because they are getting something higher. From association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada is giving all these examples. And then Prabhupada is saying here, so he is telling the story of the Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. See, you all know the story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone, that Parasamani. But how could Sanatana put the Parasamani in the dustbin? That means he was getting some higher taste in life, the chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is saying here, Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee or Mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. That means Krishna is the only property of a devotee. The touchstone of Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami. Otherwise it would not have been kept in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotees, just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Material hankering and spiritual advancement go ill together. See, to possess material things is not bad. But to maintain hankering for them is bad. Like, you know, by will of providence, one of you may become a millionaire. Possible. some or other by the stroke of fate, suddenly, you know, you got a big job, you got a big money, and you got abundant facilities given by the company, slightly, it may one day become like that. But what is being condemned is a hankering for enjoying them and hankering to increase them more and more. That is condemned. Nowadays they are increasing the hankering of young boys, correct? Like in the billboards they put, you know, they are putting the picture of a man in the some villa in Kadakwasla, a huge villa, a man is standing with a woman, you know, there's a big car standing there, and he's wearing very fine, you know, coat, suit, tie and everything, putting in a hand in his pocket and looking like this. And when young boys see that, you know, this is what I want to be, you know, correct? People think, when will the day come, when will the day be mine, when I can have a villa like this, and I can have a big car, and I can also have a woman, you know, staring at me, looking at me, and there are so many people saluting him and all that. So they are creating hankering in the hearts of young boys that, you know, you work hard in life. One day you can become like that. Of course, everyone works hard, you know, one out of thousand or one out of million, they become like that. But it is said, for the enjoyment of an elite few, the masses are made to work hard. Is it not? Just for the enjoyment of elite. These fellows are living in Kadakwasa somewhere and they are enjoying life, but all the workers are working in city, tolerating the air pollution, water pollution, noise pollution, everything. Is it? But the city guys are made to work hard. Why? Because these billboards, they create sufficient hankering and keep them working hard all their life like that. But the few people who enjoy, they never work hard, because by the stroke of fate, they are enjoying, correct, no? Yeah, you'll find that many millionaires, they don't know how they became millionaires. Because the Purva Janma Punya Karma, Purva Janma Ardhita Punya Magre Davati Davati, they became millionaires. So their hankering is condemned. So Prabhupada, that's why he is saying, material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together, he is saying. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual, in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Sri Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no such spiritual vision. This is a very important point. We should always distinguish what is material, what is spiritual. We have to always distinguish, as long as we are in a material platform. We are not very advanced. Like for Srila Prabhupada, sitting in Cadillac and sitting in a bullock cart, there is no difference. Can any of us say, I'm sitting in a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac, or I'm sitting in a bullock cart, there is no difference? You cannot say that. Because imagine, for example, one day you are wearing a simple dress that makes you feel that I'm a very simple person, I'm a beggar. You feel like that. Another day you wear a new dress, for Diwali and all, you know, tip-top, first class dress, pant, you know, and suit, etc. and everything, and then you look in that, and your walk only becomes different, you know. You have seen that? And walking also, and when you wear shoes are making some tuck, tuck, tuck sound, and you walk with a raised chest, correct, no? See, the dress makes all the difference, you see. Just wearing a different type of dress, you see, we always find, according to our material situation, we become either proud or we become humbled. You can see that, Imagine a fellow has been given a pink slip and, you know, sent off to home. You know, he will come, you know, completely hungry. If now I am a beggar now, I am jobless now. I am like a dog, you know, jobless now, where will I go now? And his attitude completely becomes different. And then he got a big job paying very well, then, you know, he's different type of attitude comes. You agree, all of you? Yeah. But for people like Prabhupada, great Sanatana Goswami and all, the material position, you know, whether they have lots or they have little, there is no difference. Now, Sudama Brahmana had lots at the end. And earlier he had little. Was there any difference? No difference. Same thing. He came home, he remained a simple devotee. He continued rendering devotion service to Krishna. That's the meaning of a pure devotee. Pure devotee is unaffected by material environment and circumstances and situation. Like when Prabhupada went to New York, some hippies told Prabhupada, "Swamiji, we feel so bad that such a pure personality like yourself, Vrindavan Vasi, you have come here to such a dirty place like this, hippie land, you have to tolerate all this nonsense." Prabhupada said, "No, don't call this hippie land, this is Vaikuntha." Prabhupada said, "Wherever people are accepting Krishna and chanting his names, that place becomes Vaikuntha. Can any of us see Vaikuntha in hippie land?" You see? Prabhupada went to Avalon Ballroom. There also he saw all the hippies, completely stoned with drugs. But Prabhupada saw that they are receptive for the holy name. So he was willing to preach that. And some boys who went with Prabhupada, some devotees, they got polluted by that environment. There was one Ranjot Prabhu who saw in the Avalon Ballroom boys, girls enjoying, delighting, playing instruments. So he also became a drum player later on in Avalon Ballroom. And he started hunting for girls there. And he fell down from his spiritual path. So a pure devotee may go to Avalon Ballroom and see all the living, all the people as living beings, you know, children of Krishna, suffering there, and he may have the compassion to give them Krishna consciousness, but we may not be on the platform. So we have to distinguish between what is material, what is spiritual. For a pure devotee, everything is spiritual. Wherever he goes, it's a spiritual place. Like Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan." He said, that's a pure devotee. A pure devotee will never get contaminated. But we have to be careful. Like in a conditioned stage, a devotee should keep away from women and wealth and affluences, luxuries and comforts. Why? Because those things can sap our spiritual energy in our life, because they can pull us down. Like, you know, Dhanavir Swami says in his early days, neophyte, Brahmachari days, he used to go for distributing books. Some young college girls would come to buy books, and he would be talking to them and explaining to them. But his leader, Sankirtan leader, would tell him, "Come back, Prabhu, enough now. In 5 minutes are over now. Don't talk to girls much." He would say, "Prabhu, you know, here is a sincere soul who wants to attain, you know, Krishna's lotus feet, and she is finding my examples very interesting. And my speech is very enlivening to her, and she is asking more and more questions. How can I not preach?" He said, "You are speaking like a pure devotee, but your consciousness is not of a pure devotee. You are delighting in preaching to a woman. Like our boys are asking questions. Probably in our company, you know, there are so many girls in our project. You know, how can we, you know, work with them? You know." And all my, you know, my company people say that, you know, you have to learn to work with girls and you have to learn to shake hands with girls. You know, this is a part of life, and you know. So most of the time when people ask this question, you know, they are feeling some weak-heartedness in the company of women. And people have this type of questions. If one is very curt and strict in spiritual life, Krishna will arrange the configuration of material energy in this world in such a way that it will be favorable for your Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna is the person who configures the material energy and all the spiritual energies around us. And if you are sincere, then Krishna will arrange situations in such a way that will bring you closer to Krishna. But if a person is insincere, then Krishna also gives facilities for an insincere person to, you know, have more opportunity for Maya. And then why Maya is arranging those things? In order to test our purity, test our sincerity, test our surrender in the face of temptations. So Prabhupada says that we have to distinguish what is material, what is spiritual. If we don't distinguish, then we are likely to become addicted to the material comforts and luxuries, and we may get spoiled. I'll tell you another simple example. One boy got a interview call from some company, cigarette company. He asked whether he can go for interview. So his counselor told him, you shouldn't go. So this boy wrote a mail to me saying that my counselor is not permitting, Prabhuji, but I can tell you, I am not going to this company for a job. I am just going to this company to get an experience of an interview. You see, unless you experience 10-20 interviews, you don't get better at it, at giving interviews. So, then I told him, ideally speaking, you should not even put your foot inside a cigarette company to go for an interview. But because you are very much hankering to get experience of interview, I can say you can go ahead, no problem. And I put a CC to his counselor also, let him go. Then he went for the interview, and then now he wrote a mail to me saying that, Prabhuji, although hundreds of people had come for the interview, somehow I got selected. I think it is some divine arrangement. I got selected. Of course, you know, you remember that you told me you should not join. But one boy told me, Prabhu, in one of your lectures you told that if any of our boys want to join companies like McDonald's and all, if they are willing to give 50% of their salary, then they can join. Like that you told somewhere, one boy told me in one lecture. So taking that principle into account, I was wondering, because if I join this company, I will be getting about 80,000 to 1 lakh in a month. So I am willing to give 50,000 also, I don't mind. Because later I will be earning even more. And then he is asking, so I just wanted to check with you before saying yes or no to them. Then I wrote a letter back. I said, just see your polluted mentality, which has arisen because of not following the instructions of the superiors. You were told not to go for this reason only. Because first you wanted to attend the interview. We knew very well, if you get the job, you'll become greedy. Now you got the job, you're becoming greedy. And in order to hide your greed, you are trying to pollute our mind also by making a show of the donation. I said, neither do we want your donation, nor do we want you to go for this job. I wrote to him back. Of course, if he was not a proper devotee, he would have not replied my mail, and he would have joined the job, and he could have given up the devotees. He didn't do that. He wrote a mail back saying that, thank you very much, Prabhu, for exposing my faulty mentality. Now I have woken up now. I did a big blunder. I was getting into the clutches of Maya. It was like putting my head into a lion's mouth. You pulled me out. Thank you very much. You wrote that. You understand what I'm saying? See how Maya is pulling slowly. Ting. This is the little cheap pulls. You see? She will not pull you. Maya has two ways of attacking. One beat finished. This is some people. And for some people, like two rats. Like the two rats biting. Little by little by little, she will weaken, just like the bridge, One bridge was having one small crack, and then it cracked, and then the Rajdhani Express was going, thar, it fell off. And that was an accident, some years ago. So, Maya erodes little by little, or she hits in one shot. For different people, she does differently. Foolish people, she just put, one bridge finished. She doesn't need to, make any plans. But for devotees, she knows very well. If I go in front of the devotees to attack them, they have a lot of armors and weapons, they have the holy name, and they have the four related principles, and they are always surrounded by other devotees, intelligent devotees who will not allow them to be pulled by me. She doesn't come from the front door, she comes from back door. And slowly she tries to pull, you see. Of course, if somebody is intelligent, they can be saved. That is why Prabhupada is saying. And then he is saying, this is a beautiful point here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no direct connection with material activities. He is without affection for the modes of material nature. The material disease is due to hankering. Okay, that is over. And then he is saying, is due to hankering. This hankering is due to an interaction of the three modes of nature. Hey, for example, we all have a tendency to lord over other living beings. So when we go to a company, they give us some post or position which gives us a chance to lord over others. We feel very great satisfaction. Like I am a project leader, or I am a works manager, I am a shop superintendent, this kind of post. Because the post is given, along with that they give a visiting card also, along with the name of the company printed. And then some people give out card even though you may not ask also. You all can keep cards. You see that? Yeah. Hey, what will you do with your card? You know, we are not interested in it. Yeah. They print so many cards and they keep distributing because the desire to dominate is so powerful. You know, they want this card to be shown to as many people as possible. Yeah. That interaction three mode, it's interaction with mode of passion, the desire to dominate. Similarly, mode of ignorance, mode of all of that. Therefore, the Lord and the devotees are called Nivritta Guna Vritti. Because neither the Lord nor the devotees have attachment for such a false enjoyment. They have no attachment to false enjoyment. The perfect Nivritta Guna Vritti is the Supreme Lord. Because he never becomes attracted by the modes of material nature. Whereas the living beings have such a tendency. Some of them are entrapped by the illusory attraction of material nature. You see, what is the symptom of tamoguna? Nidra, alasya, pramad. These three things. Too much sleep, laziness and madness in enjoying intoxication and all that. And what is rajoguna symptoms? Sangha and Trishna. Sangha means attachment. Attachment to opposite sex, attachment for honor and prestige in society. For the sake of prestige, people work hard like donkeys. You can see that. And to show that position. And Sangha and Trishna means hankering. Yeah, hankering. Hankering and attachment. Hankering for what? Hankering for material goods, hankering for post position, all these things. Or one is thinking that I will make my material life better. Even sometimes devotees get trapped in this. I have seen some grihastha's families who come to temple, you know. In fact, people have even told at one time that they do not even marry also. But after their marriage, then they said, okay, I will marry but I will not have any child. But then they had child also. Okay, I will marry and I will have child, you know, but I will keep my material life very simple. But now they are going for expansion in material life. They are going for bigger house and bigger facility, material facility, because the mind tricks the living entity, saying that, you know, unless you have better material facilities, you know, you will feel discomfort or inconvenience. To resist the pangs of material miseries, people try to go for more and more comfortable life. Better and better comfortable life. So, he's talking about the three modes. It depends on which mode we are in. Accordingly, you will become attracted to the goods of this world. Somebody is in tamoguna, nidra alasya pramada. If you have a very soft dunlap pillow bed, you know, like I went to one temple where they had put me in a guest house. In the guest house, the cushion bed was this much thick. You can imagine? It was so thick. I have only seen generally this much thick bed. Generally this bed is commonly known. See, another one is a mattress, which is quite thin. This much you have seen. Have you ever seen this much? Any of you have seen? I saw it personally. Is it? Only 5-star hotels they have, huh? Oh. So they had, Is it? Yeah. They had this much, almost 1 foot thick. And it is so soft like foam. If you sleep in that, you can never get up on Mangalore. So, if somebody is in tamoguna, you'll be attracted to the bed. Bed will attract him. Come here, I'm pulling you. He will say, Prabhuji, I don't know how Prabhuji, magnetically it was pulling me, you know. You see? Yeah, they have put for such people, yeah. So, we slept on the floor only. Fortunately, we got up from Mangalore. Then we decided we will never stay in the guest house. Nowadays we are staying in Brahmachari Ashram only, wherever we go. You know? So, I am telling you, modern times, that's the three gunas he is saying. If you are in Rajaguna, see what did Duryodhana do for Karna? When Karna was humiliated in the public, he said, I will make you Angadeshka Raja. So which guna it is in? Passion. Because you know, your prestige is in question. You want somebody to save your face. You want to prove to the world that I am not small. So that was taken advantage by Duryodhana, and he bloated his false ego, Karna's false ego, by giving him Angadeshka Rajaka post, you see. So these are all material goods, material. Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattuguna. What is the problem with Sattuguna? Sukham and Jnanam. Satvaguna, correct? But Satvaguna makes one a pious materialist. Pious materialist means, you know, many people in India, you tell them that, you know, please come to temple. Oh, I go to temple. Please, you know, Mahamantra, can you chant? Oh, I chant this poti, you know, Hanuman Chalisa, I'm chanting. They keep one poti in their pocket, yeah. You know, then you tell them, you know, we have this four religions. Oh, we also follow. No, we don't even eat onion and garlic. You know, yeah, they will say. And you wonder what to tell them now, you know. they seem to be doing everything they are doing. But if you take a close look in their life, they are revolving around their material life only. God is not a very important thing. That's why Prabhupada is saying, see, three types of people, Prabhupada is subsequently saying in one place, sinful, pious and spiritual. So sinful people, see, sinful people, they think there is no God. By our scientific advancement, we will get everything. This is sinful people. They think, no, I am progressing on my own. And pious people say, oh God, give me this, give me that. My prosperity depends on God's mercy. So they use God for that prosperity. And spiritual people means my main business of human form of life is to become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead. If I waste my time striving for material improvement and forget to chant Hare Krishna, that will be a great loss. Which means that devotee is a person who knows that I should not waste my time in material arena. Don't waste your time in increasing or improving material life. That will swallow all my energy, human energy, which is very rare, which is meant to be used in advancing in Krishna consciousness. That one can understand. Yes, you need to earn some money, and like Rupa Goswami, 100% money, what he did, 50% he gave it to Krishna conscious activities, Vaishnavas and devotional service. And 25% he kept it for emergency, for the future. And another 25% we gave it in charity to Brahmanas and other people, relatives, friends, Brahmanas, others he gave like that. You see, this Rupa Goswami is proposing, setting a standard. Now, many people are trying to explain this. Prabhupada said 50%, one devotee was selling. That 50% is not actually your salary. That is the money that is saved after you spend. You see, you know, whatever you want to spend, you spend it. And whatever you save, in that 50%, they are saying. For example, I am earning 40,000. And then if you say like this, then people will make sure that they spend maximum. Correct, no? So, okay, I have spent about, you know 36,000 I have spent. Okay, now 4,000, then 2,000 I give from that. That's all. But this is not what Shastra says. Prabhupada is saying this 50%. That means I earn 40,000, give 20,000 away. And the purpose of saying that is, your ability to enjoy sense gratification is curtailed. Because with less money, we cannot gratify senses more. Correct, no? See, a person who is giving 50%, he cannot enjoy life. Because the balance 50%, you know, he will be able to just barely maintain his family and make some savings. That's all. That's the reason these things are kept. But people are trying to justify and give excuses and reasons and this and that. They give like that. That's the way the world is. So, Prabhupada saying about the pious people are called pious materialists. Because they simply use God for, you know, supplying all their needs and necessities and, you know, supporting their material life. So for them, God, Krishna is a support to their material life. But for a devotee, Krishna is be all and end all. Krishna is the only shelter. In fact, a devotee keeps his material life very simple and small. And spiritual life is all important. You know, when I had gone to Bangalore, Bhishma Yoga, Venkatesh Prabhu told me to speak on this topic. So I spoke on this. See, to all of you, try to imagine these pictures in your mind. There are two circles, set A, set B. This is your professional life, this is Krishna conscious life. And it is like a disjoint set for some people. Why a disjoint set? When they are with devotees, they will wear dhoti kurta, dance and chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Devotees. When they go to company, they will be completely materialistic. You know, they will go to party, they will eat also out, you know, and they may be dealing with women a bit loosely and all that. Because, you know, they want to completely forget their Krishna conscious role. For them, the two lives are like disjoint sides, mutually exclusive. It's like that. Second is, professional life is all important, huge circle, and inside it a small circle, Krishna consciousness. Yes, all my day I will spend for professional life, and I am also a Krishna conscious devotee. I include it as a part of my life. Every morning I get up, I do Mangala Arati, Narasimha Arati, and I chant my rounds. That is also there, Krishna conscious life. And for them, the professional thoughts, they percolate into Krishna conscious life. When they are chanting also. And the third category is, big circle is Krishna consciousness. And small circle is professional life. Which means, Krishna consciousness is all important for me. I have to go back to Godhead, And I also do profession. What for? Because I need to live. If I marry, I have wife, children, family. How will I support? So I have some professional life also. Krishna consciousness and professional life also. It's like that. Not a professional life and Krishna consciousness also. Not like that. Third one is which one? Krishna consciousness is all important. Which means, morning I am with devotees, evening I am with devotees. Like Shraddhi Prabhu was working in Whirlpool. The afternoon also, I make 50 phone calls to devotees and well-wishers and donors and Jamashtami, what's happening? That means Krishna conscious life is percolating into your professional life. It's entering into your professional life. And Krishna consciousness is all important for you, yeah. And this is called Svanishta Bhakta. Svanishta Bhakta, the third one. And the fourth one is Krishna consciousness is the big circle. And your professional life is in dot dot lines. Which means you just don't care for what profession you do. Whatever profession your guru tells you, you do it. Like in BARC, there was some Hari Leela Prabhu working there. He and his wife, and he was like a all India renowned scientist. He got some like very big award. I mean a Padma Bhushan award, some award he got from the President of India and all. So he was an outstanding scientist in BARC. But then Krishna Prabhu told him that I need a teacher to teach some dozen children homeschooling. So can you leave the job and come to some Vaizag or somewhere? And immediately he left the job, same day. He renounced the job and he came there. Now he and his wife are a teacher for a dozen children. And last for 3-4 years they are teaching the children, that's all. Can you imagine how can one, you have such an enviable career? It is not just money, it is name and fame. He has published many papers also. So such people are called as Parinishta Bhaktas. Parinishta means they live only for the Guru's sake. And they have no other goal in life. That's why I told you, big circle is Krishna consciousness and dot-dotted circle is, it's in dot-dot. Dot-dot means professional life is not important at all. You are willing to do any profession just to keep your life good. Okay, Guruji, you want me to do doctorate? I'll do doctorate. You want me to renounce my doctorate? I'll renounce my doctorate. You want me to go abroad, I'll go abroad. You want me to be in India, I'll be in India. Whatever you tell me, I'll do, because I am your property. How you want me to live my life, you tell me. Because you are taking me back to Krishna, I am willing to surrender to you in that way. You understand? This is called Parinishta Bhakta. And the fifth category is a huge, large circle, which is only Krishna consciousness. There is no profession at all there. That is called the Nirapeksha Bhakta, like Madhavendra Puri. Nirapeksha Bhakta. Nirapeksha means, they have no expectations from anybody in this world. They simply remain Krishna conscious. And Krishna takes care of them. They are the devotees called as Nivritta Gunavrittaya. So, these people have transcended the three modes completely. If you ask them, why are you not doing a job? They will say, why should I do a job? My job is Krishna's job. Whatever devotion service I will do for Krishna, then Krishna... So, Prabhupada writes in one place, Krishna takes care of such devotees. See, here I'll show you. He says, Lord is the property of the devotees, and the devotees are property of the Lord reciprocally. The devotees are certainly transcendental to the modes of material nature. Such unalloyed devotees are distinct from the mixed devotees who approach the Lord for mitigation of miseries and poverty, all that. The unalloyed devotees and the Lord are transcendently attached to one another. For others, the Lord has nothing to reciprocate, and therefore he is called Atmana. As long as we have even the slightest idea of becoming happy materially, in some way or other, we shall have to accept the material body. You see? What I was saying. That means if we are attached to the material enjoyments of this world, it's called as clinging to bodily enjoyments. It's called as asmita. Avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. Abhinivesha is actually absorption in material energy. So the first is avidya. What is avidya? To consider what is impure to be pure. To consider what is temporary to be permanent. To consider what is non-beneficial to be beneficial. Like sometimes you see a person goes to in the train or in the shop, they buy these pakodas, oily pakodas, smelling very nice, and they eat it. But once you eat it, it goes in stomach and causes stomach pain. And then over there they put some chill, Pepsi or something. You make sure that the pakoda will not digest. Put over there. So, this is... Avidya means what? Lack of knowledge. It's ignorance. It's simply ignorance. They just don't know what is beneficial, what is unbeneficial. Similarly, a spiritualist also can have avidya. Avidya means, ignorance, darkness. That one cannot clearly see what is beneficial for me. Like this boy wrote to me, I said about the job. But now he woke up now. Because he was given the knowledge and he woke up. Because sometimes we are foolish and we are subjected to three modes of material nature and we get swayed away by the current of Maya. A boy is working 10 hours a day and he is getting about 35,000 rupees. Now the company tells him that, if you are willing to work for 16 hours a day instead of 35,000, we'll give you 40,000. And he falls for it. He will see many people. And 5,000 more I am getting monthly. Just I have to extend myself little bit. Is it little bit? That 4 hours matters a lot. Because those 4 hours are necessary for your Krishna consciousness. But then you fall for it, then what will happen? Then you will work for 16 hours, you will earn 40,000, but your expenditure will increase because you are becoming less Krishna consciousness. Is it not true? You see, that is why avidya, asmita, all these are also. So here Prabhupada is talking about the Lord and his devotees. Who are reciprocally attached to one another and they are simply satisfied in that spiritual relationship. You see, the highlight example is given of Kola Vecha Shrita. This Kola Vecha means one who sells banana leaves and banana cups. So, this Kola Vecha Shrita was a very unknown figure. Nobody knew him. Very, very insignificant, unknown person, because if you go to Bengal, you will find Bengal has not many roads. Bengal has mostly rivers. They go in boats only. All over Bengal, Bangladesh, you will see. And by the side of the rivers, you will find a lot of pukus. Because pukus means like ponds. And so many, it's a very lushy green and beautiful area. If you go through the train, you will see. And there is no dearth of banana trees. Everywhere there are banana orchards. Mango orchards, banana orchards in the train you can get to see. So to cut those banana leaves and sell in the market is not a very great job. To make it, because most people will have banana trees in their houses only. So why will they go to the market and buy unless they don't have bananas in their house? So Kola Vecha Shridhar was doing this banana leaf and cup selling business, which is not a very enviable business, very simple business, unknown figure. But he was a very great devotee of the Lord. Because of which, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Nimaya Pandit became attracted to him. You see, Krishna has an X-ray vision to see through the heart of the living beings and see who is having devotion to me. If somebody is feeling affection for me, devotion to me, then he also wants to have a reciprocation with them. Lord Nimaya Pandit would go to his shop to purchase this banana leaf and cups. But Nimaya Pandit would have a very beautiful, effulgent form of a dvija. He was a dvija sreshta. He is a sreshta amongst all the brahmanas. He had a golden hue, complexion of the body, and his face was like a full moon. And his eyes like lotus petals, and his curly locks of blackish hair would be falling on his shoulders. So this face was so beautiful, people would want to behold it without blinking their eyes. And he would wear a sacred thread passing through his body, through his shining chest. So when he would go to his Always Nimai Pandit will go generally in the street surrounded by his students and boys, like moon surrounded by stars, always. He was a very famous person in Navadvip Dham. So when he would go to the shop of Kolavecha, Sridhar, he would ask for the banana leaves and cups and everything. And whatever price he would say, he would ask for half the price. But then Kolavecha would tell him, you know, you see, I am selling it at such a throwaway price, and I am not making any profit from you. And then he would say that actually whatever money he would earn, half of it he would spend for Ganga Puja. He would do. So when he said that, Nimai Pandit would tell him, why are you doing Ganga Puja? Ganga is my servant maid. She worships me. And immediately Kolavecha would plug his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu. You are saying, this boy, this Brahmana is such an arrogant Brahmana. So Nimai Pandit is called as the crest jewel of arrogance. If you see the Chaitanya Bhagavat. See, Lord always is, in every leela, he highlights some quality. So in this particular pastime, Lord behaves like an arrogant Brahmana in the beginning. And there is sweetness in his arrogance also. Just like there is sweetness in Krishna's stealing. Similarly, there is sweetness in the arrogance of Nimai Pandit. And that is why Kolavecha Sridhar would become so attracted to him. And one day, when Nimai Pandit went to his shop, again he started the bargaining business for half an hour, 1 hour. So Kolavecha Sridhar said, okay, I have decided not to sell you. You better go to another shop and you bargain and buy. And Nimai Pandit would argue, I have got a very good supplier, so why should I go to another shop? I will argue with you only. You will not leave that place. Stand there and continue to argue. In this way, Nimai Pandit would derive great fondness in playing jokes with his own devotee. And Nimai Pandit would tell this Kolavecha that, you know, see, although you look like a poor man, I know very well that you are hiding a great treasure inside your house. And Kolavecha would say, what treasure am I hiding? See, I have such a small thatched house. If you want, you can come inside and see, I have nothing. Look at my dress, it is torn in so many places. And I put stitches. Sometimes people, what they would do, they would take a stone and put it like this and stitch it. Not stitch, just tie a thread around it. Like this, in different places there are knots. And there are more holes in his dress than the holes in the roof of the thatched cottage where he was living. Yeah, simple thatched cottage he was living. What do I have? I have no treasure. But Nimai Pandit laughed and said, one day I will expose your treasure to the whole world. What treasure was he talking about? Spiritual treasure. He was speaking about his Krishna conscious treasure. Although he was so artistic and he was always cheerful and happy, and people recognized Sridhar only by one thing, he would be loudly chanting the holy names every day, all the time, in the night also. In fact, some people would think that this fellow has gone mad, he is chanting Hare Krishna all the time. They would throw tomatoes into his house through the window. Eat this and keep quiet, maybe this fellow is too hungry, like that. So, but he would be constantly chanting. Later on, when Nimai Pandit went on that Harinam Sankirtan with all the devotees, he took the whole procession to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. And he stopped the procession. And then he went to his house and picked up that dented pot, you know. It was like a dilapidated pot, which Sridhar would use for washing his feet and taking bath, and for all purposes he would use. He took that pot and he drank the water from it. And Sridhar came running outside and he saw the sign. He caught hold of Nimai Pandit's hands and said, I am doomed. You are drinking water from this dirty pot of mine. You are a Brahmana Sreshta and I am a fallen, sinful wretch. Like that he... In those days, the Brahmanas, you will see, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he would... even the Goswamis, Rupa Sanatan, they would always eat only in the homes of Brahmanas. You have seen that? Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eats only in the house of Brahmanas? You will always read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even Rupa Sanatan, they would circumambulate Govardhan and they would come to Mathura, and there they would eat only from the hands of Chaturvedi Brahmana. They would not eat in any other house. Even the Madhukari they do. Why? Is it because they were Saraswati Brahmins? Anybody knows why? Why can't they eat from anybody's house? Because if they say Vaishnava can be anybody, no? Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kena nai. Jai Krishna tattva veta sai guru hai, correct? But why they would eat like that? Because in those days, unless you follow certain standards, you will be made outcast. If they have to be recognized by the society as sadhus, then they have to eat only from the hands of Chaturvedi Brahmana's house. That was the condition in those times. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was also a Brahmana, as an assistant with him and carried with him. So he wouldn't eat anywhere and everywhere. He had to follow those standards. Otherwise, personally speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no reservation. He says this. Kiva Vipra Kipanyasi Shudra Kirana. He associated with governor of Madras, Ramanand Rai. He did not associate with the King Pratapudra and all that. But the sannyasis had to follow certain standard. Otherwise they would be treated as an outcast and nobody will hear from them. They had to follow that. So, Nimai Pandit drank water from the pot. And then later on in Mahaprakashji also, he tells everyone, this Kolavacha Shridhar, he has the treasure of Krishna in his heart always. Because he may be Akinchana. Akinchana is penniless. He may not have money, but he has the vitta, the wealth which is Krishna himself. So, Kinchan means little. Akinchan means one who has not even little. Or, Akinchana, another meaning Vishwan Charitrakur gives. He says, Akinchana means one who possesses nothing of the material world, but one who possesses only Krishna. But if he possesses Krishna, he possesses everything. Why? Because everything is included in Krishna. All material energy, spiritual energy, everything is within Krishna. So if you get Krishna, you get everything. Like that. There is anybody knows Odia here? Odia language. Anybody know? In Odia language there is a slogan which says, Sabu Tyagi Be Krishna Payibu, Krishna Payile Sabu Payibu. Not Krishna, it says Sabu Tyagi Be Taku Payibu, Taku Payile Sabu Payibu. Taku means Jagannath. It says when you give up everything of this world and surrender to Krishna completely, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, then you get Krishna, Jagannath. And when you get Jagannath, you get everything. Neither it says. You understand, no? One who has got Krishna, he gets everything. Like for example, like Srila Prabhupada, we say he went with 40 rupees. And he brought back the 40 rupees. You all know that? Yeah, he kept with him. He never spent it there. He used it only when he came to Delhi to go to the Chippewada for a taxi, he used it. He didn't spend a single penny. Rather, Krishna sent everything to him. He gave him money, he gave him proper sent. I just came to America alone and Krishna saw that I am sincerely trying to distribute the holy name. And he sent me men, he sent me money, he sent me devotees, all of you. He sent me temples. See, Krishna gives facility to his sincere devotees who are eager to propagate his glories. Krishna sends everything. He arranges it. How he arranges is a great miracle. Like you all know, you all know how we got the Balaji. Deity from that Banerji gave the Balaji. He gifted to us. So we had that money. So one Muslim man, his name is Pansare. So this Muslim man had a land, the temple land where we have. So the devotees were also searching for land in that area only. They were searching. One day this man met some Hare Krishna devotees in the congregation. He said that I want to, as soon as possible, sell away this land to, some saintly people, some sadhu people he was selling. And he said, in my dream, I saw a group of, saffron sadhus, I saw. He's at a distance. And he calls us Kuda, Kuda, he calls. Kuda told me that this land doesn't belong to you. This land is mine. It belongs to God. So don't keep this land with you. If you keep this land, all your family, your amsha, everything will be destroyed. But if you give this land to my devotees, then your life will become blessed and glorious. But then he asked God in the dream, but where are these people? He said, very, very soon these people will come to you. You will see them, you will recognize them, and you will be giving it very soon. And then he got his dream, he said. And then our Shwetji Prabhu, Rasagarpu, they went there and then they met him. And then they said, first he said, I won't give. Because they were wearing pine shirt and everything. No, I have decided to give it to Sadhu Sangha. Then they thought, maybe we will. Then they said, okay, giving, not giving, you don't decide now. You decide later, you come with us. Then they brought him to temple. And they brought him inside my office. As soon as he saw me in this dress, he was like shocked like this, taken aback. I asked, what happened? I asked. Then he was telling me, and then he said, came in my dream, Saffron, what is standing at the distance. And God told me that I should give the land to him. Now I'll give, he said. I'll give the land. Yeah. So he saw all the devotees, many devotees. He is a Muslim, but he was so respectful to devotees. So he gave prasad, immediately he ate it. He had no reservation at all. So he was telling, now I am feeling deeply satisfied. Last few days I have been very fearful. After meeting the sadhus here, I am feeling very, very peaceful at heart now. Very soon we will do the paper transaction. So we got the land, you see. So, currently our Brahmacharya Ashram has 3 rooms with 120 Brahmacharis. Can you imagine how can they live? There's no place. And the temple hall was so small, we made the prasadam hall. Even that is also full. There's no place. So, once Radhanath Maharaj was telling, if you utilize all the place Krishna has given you fully, then Krishna will give you bigger place. Now Krishna is giving bigger place now, new temple. Similarly, in San Diego temple, devotees wanted a particular land for San Diego temple. And the collector of that place, the top lady, she was opposing. She was raising opposition. And our devotees went and begged her, Madam, please, this is a very nice posh place, so many colonies are around. If ISKCON gets this land, we can do nice preaching and everything. She said, nothing doing, She said, I cannot sanction all these things for religious activities and all. And in her dream, Jagannath appeared, Jagannath Balade Subhadra. See, she doesn't know the name of Jagannath also, that's the most beautiful thing. She doesn't know the name of Jagannath, but she saw a black person with large eyes. Round eyes and open mouth, and he was chastising her. He said, how dare you are not giving this land to my devotees? And he said, immediately go and seek forgiveness from my devotees and give this land. And then, actually, just before that dream, that very same day morning, she had floated a letter to all the people in the colony, not only that one, all over that locality. Is there anyone having objection for the ISKCON people to have this land there? She wanted to know, am I the only one or are there many people? So they were supposed to respond. So in the meantime, this dream came. Next day morning she got up. And at that time ISKCON devotee was staying in a rented apartment, And then she went to meet them, and there she saw Jagannath Balade Subhadra. She started weeping and crying. She said, see this, the same person, he came in my dream. I don't know what is the name of this mostly. She told me I have to give. And she said, but I have committed a blunder, she said. Yesterday morning only I have sent a letter out. Now I am not opposing now, but many others may oppose. Then devotee said, at least we are happy that you are not opposing now. Let us see. And then within a week, the response came. There was one man who was supposed to be neighbor to ISKCON temple. And that man was a very big man, very politically influential. He was a very big position, industry owner. And he raised objection. He said, these Hare Krishna people I know very well. I have traveled all over the world. They have big, big vampire, they beat. They make big kirtan, loud kirtan they do. And how can they have a place right next to my land? And you should never allow. He told the collector. So this lady then told the devotees, what can I do now? Personally, I would like to sign. But I cannot sign unless this, because I have to take the interest of all the people. The devotees went to that man, to give prasadam and, try to persuade him and all that. But he was immovable. He would throw the devotees out from the gate only. He never entertained them inside also. He was a very hard-hearted man, immovable. So devotees prayed to Lord Narasimhadev, what is to be done with this man? Within a week, because this man was doing business transaction and everything, there was some Austria, some other place, where he had to move his whole family, his family, his business, everything he moved. Why he moved, God knows. Probably some big business thing he got, you know, success something he got, then he moved the whole thing, vacated his place and he sold it up also and he went away. Within the next week it happened. And devotees got the place, San Diego. Now we have Radha Giridhari in San Diego, that temple. Then the collector immediately sanctioned.
So,
how Krishna arranges for his devotees is a very mysterious thing. Because all things will fall in place. How it falls in place is very amazing. So, like we people, we are not very intelligent in collecting funds. You all know we have been preaching to children and youth, can you imagine, can you conceive of a 25 crore temple? But Krishna sent a talented man like Sri Gurucharan Prabhu, who is a mastermind in coming up with ideas. His ideas and the pamphlets he made are so powerful. Many other temples are borrowing and taking from here. So, and he has a team of people and congregations themselves collected about 10-12 crore. Another 6 crore, about 18 crore they have collected out of 25 crore. So, Krishna sent one talented man. Now, Sri Gurucharan Prabhu is doing the fundraising. And Sundara Prabhu is very talented in interior decoration and all that. He is the one who made all the domes more beautiful, which you see. Jayadev Prabhu, Satyadu Mataji told me once, Rashan Prabhu, I will make Jayadev Prabhu the construction in charge. He will do all the RCC. Then we introduced him in a meeting and he took it up. He's a very, with full dedication, I did. You see? Yeah. And Ramnath Prabhu acted as the interface between Brahmacharis and congregation to make all the needs and the facilities. Campus. And Krishna sent Sridhanita Chidhar Prabhu for kitchen department, both in this temple and the new temple also. See, just one person, pakka man, Krishna sent, that type of people who can take charge of one. We got Sachin Prabhu, who was a builder. He saw all the things that we had planned. He said, hey, what are you guys doing? And then he introduced the big architects he brought. After Sachin Prabhu came, the whole plans changed, a lot of changes we made. Because we were all like thumb rule people. We were not so knowledgeable. But he is a professional man, big builder. Alcon builders. So he came and said, leave the whole thing to me, then I will take it. He took it up. We had Ramai Prabhu and Jayadev Prabhu who made the temple structure, but the pillars became very big. You all saw? The elephant. So the Prabhuji who designed the pillars at that time was a structural engineer. When Sachin came and saw, he said, what is the need of such a huge elephant temple? The Prabhuji said, for next 10,000 years, this temple cannot be destroyed. Temple will be a very, very strong temple. So he made a very strong temple. Anyway, after that, Sachin has come in now and is designing many other things. So, Krishna sent, the right person for the right service. And everything is falling in place. And, money is coming and the construction is happening. Very, very wonderful. So, we have to have faith that if we depend on Krishna, Krishna will make all things possible. But if we don't have faith in Krishna, then we break our head. Sometimes, you all have experience of this, you break your head. Even after breaking head for long, long hours, the outcome is nothing. Many times, yeah. But we should do the Sankirtan very powerfully. Like if we do preaching and holy name, keep the holy name the center of our lives, if we keep focus of Shravanam and Kirtanam, then all other things will happen automatically, arranged by Krishna. You know this? Jab tum Bhagavan naam mein, Bhagavan tumhare kaam mein, jab tum apne kaam mein, Bhagavan apne daan mein. You know the story, Akbar and Birbal once had a very heated argument. Birbal said we should depend on Krishna. Akbar said we should depend on ourselves, our own endeavors. So they had a heated argument. Anyway, months passed. One day they both were, they had forgotten these arguments. One day they both went to forest for hunting. And then as they went, somehow or other they went deeper and deeper and deeper into forest. You know, it was becoming almost twilight. Albert thought that, you know, it may not be very safe to return back in the night. Can we stay somewhere, you know? What are we going to do for our eating now? You know, we had eaten lunch and left. Now it has become too late now, because we are very hungry. Then Birbal said, now it's my time for chanting Ram Naam, Sandhya, you know. Every Sandhya I chant about 1 hour Ram Naam. So he sat down under a tree. And Akbar argued, if you are chanting God's names, you know, what will happen to your food? Mahanidhi Maharaj was telling in one lecture, he was going in a train or something. He asked a very young boy, he asked him, what's your name? He said, Raghupati Mukhopadhyay, the boy said. Oh, really? So what do you do? That means you are a Brahmana. Brahmana, what do you do? I am working with IBM, he said. And Maharaj asked him, you are working with IBM, you are a Brahmana, you are not doing Brahmana job? Are you studying Bhagavad Gita and preaching to people? He said, you know, simply if you are ringing the bell and chanting God's name, now how will we get money? Now the boy was arguing with him. Then Maharaj told him, see, if you are a Brahmana, you have faith that if you ring the bell and you do a puja and you worship the Lord, then Lord will send you everything. In fact, if you have that faith, then you are a Brahmana. He was telling him like that. So he was later on telling all the Brahmana boys now, they have gone to the software company, they are going to America, and they are expanding their material lives. He was telling in that lecture. He was telling that, you know, they are not studying Bhagavad Gita, they are not chanting God's names because they have lost their faith. So this is Asurik, he was telling. That, you know, yes, okay, if you are doing a job, you can say that, ideally speaking, I am supposed to study and preach, I can't do it, so I am doing a job. But I am also trying to study Bhagavad Gita, I am also trying to chant. Then you can be considered pious. But this boy is arguing, kya, ganti bajane se paisa milega kya, you know? People argue, you know? Are, naam jab karne se ped barega kya, you know, people say. They argue like that. So, Birbal sat and Akbar. Birbal said, I don't know whether we'll get food or not, but right now my food is chanting. I have to chant now. We will uske bare mein baad mein dekhenge, he said. We'll see later, and he sat down and started chanting. Anyway, Akbar climbed up the tree. And was looking, you know, is there any house anywhere far away? And then far away he saw there was a fire and fire coming from a house. He saw that. Then he got down and he went ahead. He was pretty hungry also. He went to the house and he patted the door. They opened the door and they were suddenly stunned to see the king of the country. He was come. People are very happy to receive him. Then they fed him dinner. Everything he ate nicely, full meal. And gave out a big burp, satisfied, came out. Then he was about to leave the house. Then he thought that, oh, that fellow Birbal has come with me, he has no food. So he asked the people, can you pack up some chapatis and sabji? Then they packed up a nice package and he gave him, and water bottle, everything they gave him. Then he brought back. By the time he returned back, Birbal had completed his job. And Akbar asked Birbal, no, would you like to eat now? And then, yes, he said. Then of course he gave that pack for him to eat. The Akbar said, you see, I worked so hard, I endeavored, that is why I got the food. And you are just chanting. And Birbal said, I told you, if you chant, God will send. So why did God send? He said, he has sent through you. Understand? So he said, he has sent through you. That is how a devotee sees. God sends through others. So, One thing is, we don't have that much faith. You see, the brahmacharis and sannyasis, what work they do? They do only Krishna's work, right? But how are they getting their food? How are they getting their accommodation? Now it's a big accommodation, 25 crores accommodation now. Is it not a big temple? But what work are they doing to get this? One thing is, of course, everyone has to do his dharma. If one is a grihastha, you can't say, I will not do any work, I'll just chant and dance, you know, like Purandara Das. I'll become a Hari Bhakta, you know. Of course, if you have that level of confidence, you can live life like Shivas Thakur, no. Clapping the hand 3 times, or just singing and going from street to street doing Unchavritti. Unchavritti means you just do bhajan, whatever people give you, some grains, you accept it. That's a very advanced platform. But by seeing those examples, we should know in our life that I should minimize my material life and maximize Krishna life. That we learn. Huh? Yes, you need material life, but for what? For filling up our belly, you don't need to work so hard. Huh?
That's it.
That is the point. Huh? The analog devotees of the Lord are transiently attached, and the Lord are the analog devotees and the Lord are transiently attached to one another. Any activity that are spiritual are all good. And any activity that are material are all bad. This is the difference between spiritual and material. The so-called morality and goodness of this material world is all bad. But in the spiritual world, even so-called immorality is good. In the material world, even so-called morality is bad, like the honesty among thieves. They may be honest, but what is the use of their honesty? Because they are stealing God's property and sharing and enjoying on the basis of communism. That is bad. But even the so-called immorality is good, he says. And then he is giving an example. For example, we have a propensity to steal, to take things that belong to others. Why? Because Krishna has the same propensity. Krishna stealing and our stealing are different. Because we are materially contaminated, our stealing is abominable. Whereas on spiritual platform, the same stealing is so nice, it is enjoyable. He says. So, Gurudas Prabhu came to Prabhupada. And he brought one lamp and said, Prabhupada, I got this beautiful lamp and 50 rupees only. In Vrindavan. That was 50 rupees. This is 2 rupees. They have cheated you. Huh? That is the time, first time they had come to India. So 2 rupee land they have given in 50 rupees. And Prabhupada said, because you are son of a rich father like me, you know, those guys have looted you. Because people knew, hey, Swamiji, America jaakar prachar karke bachon ko laya hai. Ye Angrez mandir bana rahe hai. Vrindavan, Angrezon ka mandir, they call it even today. Their money to people. I loot that pocket. Prabhupada said, because you are son of a rich father, they are looting your money. Prabhupada said, you should be intelligent. So, this cheating propensity, stealing propensity is there. Like, you know, somebody in Vrindavan got a plate. And one man told him, you see, I am giving you this golden plate in just 20,000 rupees. And he said, actually this golden plate costs about 1 lakh rupees. But because you are a Hare Krishna devotee, but my request is, please don't tell anyone about this. Because if you tell, they will come to my shop and demand. Keep this with yourself, because you are a God's devotee, you are all Hare Krishna wale, I am giving you. So he gave him 20,000 rupees. And this devotee got it. And then it was brought back, you know, when you, there is a method of testing the gold. When you, in the test study, it was a brass plate. That's all. It was not a gold plate. Which is worth 200 rupees. And you got in 20,000 rupees. You see? So, there is a cheating propensity amongst the conditioned souls in this world. The cheater gets happiness and the cheated becomes morose in this world, isn't it? But whereas in spiritual realm, both the cheater and the cheated become blissful. You know, Krishna is stealing butter and is eating and enjoying. He becomes very happy. And the gopis from whose house Krishna steals, they also become very happy. In fact, he told Mother Yashoda, once when they came and complained, hey, your children are, you know, wearing such golden ornaments. You know, when they come to our dark houses, their ornaments are shining so brilliantly that they can locate where we have kept the makkan from the, hanging from the rafters. Yashoda said, I will remove all their ornaments, he said. And the gopis said, no use, even if we remove, their bodies are only glowing. They can easily locate, she said. And then they said, anyway, we are making butter so that Krishna and Balaram and covered boys can come and steal from our houses. They were enjoying their pastime. So the stealing on the spiritual platform is very enjoyable. And that is transcendental. And Prabhupada is saying, Krishna dancing with the wives of others, the gopis. He's giving that example. And then he's saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramyakaj Upasana Vrajavadu. There is no better mode of worship than that was conceived by the Vrajavadus or Gopis of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order of life. He strictly avoided the association with women. He never played any jokes with women. He was very humorous, but only with men. not with women. Once he spoke some joking words with his wife Vishnupriya. When Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya's mother, was searching for something, he jokingly said, "Maybe your daughter-in-law has taken it." But in his whole life, these are the only joking words we find in relation with woman. He was very strict. After he accepted sannyas, the renounced order, no woman could even come near him to offer obeisances. Rather, they would offer obeisances from a distant place. Nonetheless, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramya kajit upasana vrajabadu vargena yakalpita. There is no conception of worship better than that which is conceived by the dancers of Vrindavan gopis. And what was the conception? They wanted to love Krishna at any risk. And this is never immoral. That which is in relationship to Krishna can never be immoral. And then Prabhupada quotes the pastime of Narasimhadeva killing Hiranyakashipu. That is a supreme surgical operation. For which Prahlad Maharaj garlanded him. So Prahlad Maharaj became a Mahajan by garlanding the killer of his father. But he is not an ordinary killer, he is a transcendental killer. By killing his father, Lord Narasimhadeva delivered Hiranyakashipu. And then the last part of the purport, Prabhupada talks about a devotee. I'll ask you a question. If a devotee has desire for material enjoyment, will Krishna take interest in the devotee or not? Like a devotee is interested in materialistic enjoyments. Will Krishna take interest in the devotee or not? On the other hand, there is another yogi or a great person who is completely having no desire for material enjoyment. So Krishna will take interest in whom? Devotee. Why? Why he will take interest in the devotee? Because the other person is free from all material desires. That person is not trying to strike a relation with Krishna. He is detached, he is so detached that he is detached from Krishna also. He doesn't want Krishna also. You know, this is a Mahatyagi, you know. The sadhu came to the king and said, king told the sadhu, "Hey sadhu, you are a great Tyagi." He said, sadhu said, "Yes, I am a Tyagi, you are a Mahatyagi." And king asked, "How is it?" Yeah. And the sadhu said, "I have given up the materialistic pleasures of this world, so I am a Tyagi. But you are so renounced, you renounce God also. You are a Mahatyagi." So, then Krishna is not interested in him. Whereas a devotee may have materialistic desires, but he is hankering to attain Krishna also. So Krishna takes interest in the life of such a devotee. But what does he do? Krishna punishes such a devotee for material desires by sending some sufferings in the life of the devotee. And then the devotee, if he is intelligent, he will understand, "Oh, now I understand why Krishna is pinching me. Because I have some material desires. So he is giving me some trouble to purify me." How many of you have experience of having interpersonal clashes with other people? Do you have experience? I have that experience, right? So we can understand why are we having clashes, because we have false ego. So because of that we are having clashes. Krishna is purifying me by putting me amongst devotees and, you know, putting me in situations. Similarly, sometimes Krishna gives a disease. Sometimes you overeat prasad. We eat so much. And we are secretly thinking, you know, I drank three glasses of sweet rice. Next day you have stomach ache, you have to go to doctor or something. So you understand, Krishna is giving me suffering. Why? Because I am increasing my material desires. So Krishna slaps the devotee, beats the devotee sometimes. And that should not be considered as karma. That is a creation of Krishna for his own devotees to bring them to the right track. The devotee is going in the wrong track, then Krishna brings him to the right track. Like one boy who was supposed to join the ashram. You know, he had to do a lot of duties. He did a lot of responsibility for his parents and gave them 5 lakh in hand and built a house for them and everything. I said, "Arey, bahut ho gaya abhi. You have done a lot of responsibility, more than what we requested you. Please come back soon." And this fellow is saying, "Prabhuji, you know, there is one girl in the congregation who keeps looking at me in that temple, whichever temple he was. You know, I think she wants to marry me, you know, that I want to be sure, you know. I am trying to find out the truth, you know. I just want to find out before joining. In case, you know, she is not interested in me, then I will join. Because I wrote a letter back saying, no, even if she is not interested in me, you should not join. Because the idea of marriage has come into your mind. So it's best that you marry her or marry somebody. And then when he found out through another boy, then that girl heard that this boy is thinking like this. She burst into tears, weeping. She wrote a letter to him saying that, my dear brother, she said, how dare can you think like this about me? We both come for the same program, counseling meeting. We are attending and we are coming for that. I have seen you many times as a worshipable superior. I was always attracted to your devotional qualities because you sing nicely, you speak nicely and all. And you know, you are, I thought you are a great soul, now we have proved you are a small soul. I never thought such a thing will come from you, you know. He said, no, I just wanted to know, that's all, no. You know, I just thought, you know, but how can you just think, you know. She was in tears and she said, I will not come for this counselor meeting as long as he comes. She was saying, so this fellow called me, Toji, bahut bada gadbad ho gaya. You understand? Why I am telling, when a devotee has material this year, Krishna gives slap. So he said, Krishna gave me a good slap. He was telling. You see, Krishna pulls the leg, he gives slap to his devotee sometimes. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Krishna says, if someone wants me, but at the same time wants material prosperity, he is a fool. Krishna is so kind that if one wants material prosperity, but at the same time wants to become a devotee, Krishna makes him a failure in material life. Therefore, people are very much afraid of coming to Krishna consciousness. Oh, they think my material prosperity will be finished. Yeah. Like that. One who thinks, for my own material prosperity, I shall depend on my own strength of my own knowledge, is a Dushkriti, the most sinful person. And one who thinks my prosperity depends on the mercy of God is a pious person. With whatever intelligence I have, I may try to become happy. But without Krishna's sanction, I shall never be happy. This is the distinction between a devotee and a non-devotee. Krishna says, one who tries to approach me to become Krishna conscious, but at the same time wants to become materially happy, is not very intelligent. He is wasting time. Our main business is to become Krishna conscious. That is the main business of human life. So we waste our time striving for material improvement and forget to chant Hare Krishna, that will be a great loss. This verse Prabhupada is quoting. Ami vignya yai murka vishay kena diba swacharnamrita diya vishay bulaiba. Krishna says, I will give my charnamrita to that materialistic devotee and I will make him forget the vishay bhog. I will purify his heart. Like that he is saying. And then Prabhupada is giving two examples, one of Yudhishthira Maharaj. We are completely dependent on you, but still we are suffering materially so much. Our kingdom has been taken away, our wife has been insulted, our enemies attempted to burn us in our house. How can this be so? Krishna replied, Yasyaham Anagrihanami Parishetadharam Chani. Yes, that is my first business. If I especially favor someone, then I take away all his sources of income and place him into great difficulty. In this way, Krishna is very dangerous, Prabhupada saying. I have actual experience in this connection. I do not wish to narrate the whole story, but it is a fact that I received Krishna's special favor in this way. And then Prabhupada is saying, when I was 25 years old, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to go to preach. But I thought, first of all, I shall become a rich man, and then I shall use my money to finance the preaching work. I had good opportunities to become a very rich businessman. An astrologer even told me that I should have become as rich as the wealthiest man in India. There were good chances. I was the manager of a big chemical factory. I started my own factory and the business was very successful, but eventually everything collapsed. In this way, I was forced into the position of carrying out the orders of my Guru Maharaj. When all my material assets were taken away, then I approached Krishna saying, you are the only shelter. Therefore, Krishna is akinchana vitta, the property of materially impoverished. When one is bereft of all material opulences, then one turns to Krishna. And now I am realizing that I have not lost but gained. So to lose material opulences for Krishna's sake is not a loss. Like Bali Maharaj lost all his material opulences for getting Vamandev in return. Is it not true? The same formula. Sabutyagive Takupayivu. Takupayive Krishna Sabupayivu. Rather it is the greatest gain when one becomes Akinchana, having nothing to possess. Krishna becomes the only riches of that person. Prabhupada is quoting this one. Ha ha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhana Sutta Yuta. Everybody. Ha
Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhana Sutta Yuta.
Karuna Kara Hei Vara.
Karuna Kara Hei Vara.
Narottama Dasa Koi Nate Liho Ranga Pai. Toma Vina Keya Cheya Mara. Krishna, but for you, I have nothing to claim. I have no possessions. You are my only possession. So please don't neglect me. This position is very nice. When one does not depend on anything material, but simply depends on Krishna, one has attained the first class position of Krishna consciousness. When one takes you as only one's possession, one immediately becomes free from the material activities of material nature. In other words, by accepting Krishna in this way, one attains the transcendental position of the Absolute. So, there is a prayer by Radharani to the bumblebee when Uddhava had come. She is telling, this Krishna is a very dangerous person, she says. She is speaking out of great love. These are called as the Premonmad. Premonmad. See, in Prema, there is Vakrata. It's called Prema Vakrata. Prema Vakrata means you will find very advanced devotees will say that I have no love for Krishna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. You've seen that? Only very small devotees say I have got great love for Krishna. They think like that. And great devotees say they have no love for Krishna. They'll find very great devotees to be extremely humble. And Narada Muni is telling Tatha Vairanu Bandena. He is telling that the Tatha Vairanu Bandena means the Shishupal and other people and the demons, their absorption in Krishna is far greater than absorption of the devotees. You know, devotees sleep away in chanting, or devotees are distracted in the mind. But the demons remember Krishna, like Kamsa, Shishupal and all, very strongly. Like that Narada is telling. But the purpose of Narada telling is not to glorify the demons, but to wake up the devotees. To make us understand that, just look at the demons, how hard they are working. For 16 hours they are working in the company, what are we doing? You know? Like that, what are we doing for Krishna? You know? Let us also work hard like that. So, this is called as Prema Vakrata, we call it. Similarly, Radharani is telling, hey, this Krishna is so dangerous because anybody who becomes attracted to Krishna, they give up their mother, give up their father, give up their job, give up their money, give up their business, profession, everything. They become empty-handed, they become vikaris. And after become vikaris, they become brahmacharis or sannyasis. They leave everything. And then also their hankering for Krishna doesn't stop. They keep searching for Krishna everywhere. They search Krishna through the shastras, by reading the shastras. They go to the temples and look at the deities and they search for Krishna. They are searching for Krishna in the prasad. They are searching for Krishna in the holy places. Like Vrindavan, Mayapur, everywhere they run. And even after leaving a body, sometimes they pass through different species. Like Bharat Maharaj came to the body of a deer. And then he came to the body of Jada Bharata. Sometimes they, species after species, they are searching, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? In this way, anybody who goes to Krishna even once, when that Krishna hankering enters their heart, that hankering goes on building that lavalyam, greed for attaining Krishna. In this way, Krishna is very dangerous. Once you become addicted to him, you can never leave his lotus feet. Just like this Putana shouted, no? When Krishna was trying to suck her life air, you know. Chodare, 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 shouting, leave me. Or Radhavan Maharaj said, भगवान किसी को पकड़ते हैं तो छोड़ते कैसे हो छोड़ेंगे नहीं है? उनका आदत है किसी को पकड़ लिया तो पकड़ लिया बात कभी छोड़ेंगे नहीं उनको मारे She was like, अरे पापी कंसा मुझे पहले पता चलता है इतना ये बच्चा जो इतना बड़ा ताकत से मैं क्या कर मैं इधर आती नहीं है बोल दिया नहीं ईश्वर कर सिंह कम सो सो हलांग छोड़ दे छोड़ दे छोड़ दे सो दैट इज सेज कृष्णा नेवर लीव्स डिवोटी प्रॉपर साइड कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस इज लाइक हॉट शुगर केन जूस जूस इज वेरी स्वीट ऑल्सो इट इज वेरी हॉट ऑल्सो यू ऑल विल हैव एक्सपीरियंस समटाइम्स योर माइंड विल टेल यू वी शुड रन अवे फ्रॉम डिवोटीज इट इज टू मच अरे दिस पीपल हैव कैप्चर्ड मी You know, every day morning you have to get up, Mangalarti, chanting, dancing, you know, class, and look at the outside world, people are enjoying like anything. But the devotee cannot enjoy also, you know, because he has got knowledge. You know? You see, if you know camel is enjoying cactus and he is drinking his own blood, you know it. You know that example. Then even if you are an enlightened camel, you know, then you cannot eat that, you know. You cannot eat the cactus anymore. Correct, no? Also, all the other camels will be eating. You know that I am tearing my gums. How will I eat it? Yeah. Instead of cactus, you will look for a chapati or something else, you know. Yeah. So, once you become enlightened, you are not in darkness anymore. So, even if a devotee tries to enjoy, you know, he cannot enjoy because his guilt will eat him up. Guilty feelings will tell him. He will keep on. Like you know the story, no? A devotee left the temple. Gauranga tells many stories. One story is of the shark, you know. He suddenly in the ocean, he came back. Another story, our Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, a devotee left the temple. And he thought, thank God, now I have left Hare Krishna. And he went and sat in the plane. And then he heard some murmuring sound. Hare Krishna. He turned and he saw there was sannyasi sitting next to him. Sannyasi was chanting Hare Krishna. And the Hare Krishna was constantly reminding him of the temple. He took his earplug and he put the earplug. So sannyasi didn't know who this fellow was. But this fellow knew he was Iskand sannyasi. He knew. Then he thought, let me escape from him. Then he, as soon as the plane stopped, you know, he got down. As soon as he came down from the plane, devotees are selling books. Yeah. Sir, would you like to see? And he saw what is the book? Bhagavad Gita as it is. Krishna book. Yeah. Saw the devotees. Actually, although he had removed his kantimala, thrown away, he had wiped out his tilaka, changed his dhotikurta to pant shirt, you know, he looked at the devotees there. Huh? Yeah, and the devotees came, they're this thing. So, in this way, wherever he went in the next 1 week, he had more devotee experiences than even before. At last he thought, this is Krishna's invitation for me. Yeah? Then he came back running to temple. Then he joined again after a week. Yeah? So Haigiri Prabhu also left Krishna consciousness, went. He went back to addiction of drugs and everything. But then finally he came back. He got a blood cancer. Sometimes Krishna will give a terrible disease to a devotee to get him back to his lotus feet. Yeah? Krishna may do some things with some devotees. What he will do, it's all his creation. Yeah? To his devotee. Yeah? So, let's say, Krishna consciousness may be difficult, but Prabhupada said, you know, material life is impossible. He said, actually the difficulty we have in spiritual life is meaningful, because it is purposeful, it has got some beautiful goal at the end. Whereas material life is aimless and goalless, and it is fully miserable. So, because we are in between devotees, we may have such kind of experience, but eventually, when we grow, a stage will come when you will be so ecstatic that we will never want to turn back to material life. Because Krishna would have become our property. Akinchana vittaya. So don't worry, Krishna will take away everything from you. Some people have fear, will Krishna make me a bondi? No, people have fear. Like that fruit vendor is giving fruits to Krishna. But how she is giving, closing her eyes, she is giving all the fruits, so much so Krishna cannot hold us. But then what Krishna doesn't return? He fills up her basket with so many jewels and everything, costly jewels. But that is not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is that she developed unalloyed love for Krishna. We should develop unalloyed love. That is the main moral. And secondary moral is that when you serve Krishna like that, Krishna will take care of you. Similarly, Sudama Brahmana didn't ask anything from Krishna, but Krishna gave so much wealth. Pundrika Vidyanidhi was a very rich Vaishnava also. It's not that all Vaishnavas are beggars. Our Ambarish Prabhu, billionaire bhakt, he's a billionaire. So, a devotee may be a billionaire, but devotee doesn't endeavor to become a billionaire. He spends all his time in becoming a devotee. So, when will Krishna take away everything from you? When he sees that you are rushing madly towards material life and you are forgetting Krishna, then he will take away everything from you. But if Krishna sees that you are a sincere devotee and you are using all your earnings in Krishna's service, then why should he take away from you? There is no reason. But whatever Krishna does ultimately is for our good. This is called special mercy. So, one father and son were talking to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada asked the father, so you want mercy or you want special mercy? And the father said, no, mercy is good enough for me. But your son got special mercy. That's why he joined. So that father was asking, why this happened to my son? He was an educated boy. You know, he got such a high degree, such a distinction, everything. Now he has shaved his head. You know, he was wearing saffron and joined the temple. He was crying. And father said, for that, you should know what is mercy, what is special mercy. And Prabhupada said, if Krishna gives mercy, he brings you closer to devotees and you also dovetail all your activities in Krishna's service. But when Krishna gives you special mercy, he takes away everything. You become brahmachari. You become sannyasi, like that. And then Prabhupada explained, Yasyam Anugrahanami. After that, father became very happy, smiling and everything. And Prabhupada said, what do you want? You want mercy or special mercy? Prabhupada asked him. You know, Swami, mercy is good enough. My son got special mercy. That is that itself makes me happy now. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Antarashya Madhbhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.